It's not always easy, and sometimes life can be deceiving. I'll tell you one thing, it's always better when we're together. It's always better when
happy Monday to all 11 of you. It's the Jonathan Weir Show, or Radio Free Weir Show, with Rod Babcock, back and stronger than ever, disunited, and it feels so
together?
Bad. What?
We're together?
No.
We're together?
We're so far
I've
apart.
I've missed you. It hurts me.
Yeah. You know what I'm doing right now? I'm making a little heart shape into the microphone. Or maybe it's an ass. Maybe it's an ass to reflect how I feel.
You should be shopping for snow shovels, because you're going to need that.
Can I just tell you about the last 45 minutes of my life and how they were the worst 45 minutes of my life ever? Which is a high bar.
Ecstatic to hear about that.
It is a high bar. I will tell you that. It's a high bar or low bar. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think it's a low bar.
So today.
It's a bold statement either way.
Today was Hank, you know, my 10-year-old. It was his first day at school. And he goes to a really good school, really good teachers. He's got a male teacher.
On September 16th.
Yeah. His first day. I know. And it's not like school started.
That's because you're a terrible neglecting parent.
Right. That's obvious. But on September 6th is when everybody else in Boston went back to school. So it doesn't seem that bad until you factor in that his school actually did go back on August 20th. So no, it's pretty bad that he hasn't gone to school yet. But that's not our fault. The thing is, the school that he's going to, the school district, is very good. And because it's very good, a lot of people try to sneak their rotten little kids into the school when they don't actually belong there. They you know, claim they
you're all up in the Blue Valley School District again.
More or less, yeah. So it's the same process. Like, we need to have proof of residency, all of his medical records, his report card, proof of income. They need to make sure that we make enough money to live in this area. And
oh, you're kidding?
No, I'm kidding about that. Though it wouldn't surprise me, honestly, because this is a very hoity-toit type area. So anyway, point is his first day.
You mean Boston, or you mean where you live?
When I particularly live, like when I told people that I was moving, and I was like, I'm moving to Boston. Everybody's like, oh my god, the cost of living there is so high. And I was like, I know, but you know, they're paying me pretty well, so I'll be all right.
Yeah.
And then I moved to like the most expensive part of Boston you can move to.
Like, why would you do that?
I didn't mean to. We just moved to where the schools were good, and this is why the schools are good.
See, that's your mistake. That's your mistake. Go find Kansas City, dude. You gotta find Raytown.
Oh, believe me.
All the Raytown schools aren't that bad.
When we move and we actually buy a house, I don't care about the schools. This kid can go to a school that spells it with a K instead of a CH. I don't care anymore.
I'm sure they have a beautiful crime-free Grandview kind of an area.
Yeah, I believe it's called Quincy. Or, no, maybe not Quincy, but...
Every city has the same stuff, you know.
Yeah, Dorchester, probably. South Dot. Anyway, today was his first day of school. Here was the last 45 minutes of my life. I had to go to the UPS store to print off a placard, because they're very secure. And I cannot stress this enough about his school. They're very secure at his school. They really want to make sure that if you are picking up the kid, that kid belongs to you. So you have to get a placard with their little school insignia on it, and then write the kid's name in big letters on the insignia, so that when you pull up to the school, because again, they're so careful, and when you pull up to the school, they see his name on the placard. And then they go and get the kid and bring him to the car, and they know that, you know, everything's okay because you have the placard. Obviously, no.
Wow, that's right.
No kidnapper would have it, right?
So I just realized you live in a city that's had a major incident.
Really? What?
The Boston Marathon bombing.
Oh yeah, what does that have to do with us?
Well, I've never lived in a city that had the big crazy thing happen in that city. I'm sure there's a little bit extra
paranoia,
security on different. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Well, it's not that. I think it's just general. Like, this is, we want our parents to feel secure. So I pull up to the school with the placard, and the teacher there sees the placard and like, who are you here for? I go, Henry Weir, and she goes, okay. And so she walks away. And doesn't come back.
It's different.
She doesn't come back for like 5 minutes. So she comes back after 5 minutes and goes, Mr. Garland is a teacher. Henry's teacher, which is really cool. He's got this really cool older male teacher. And she's like, Mr. Garland, his teacher needs to talk to you for a second. I was like, oh, what did he do? Oh, God. Oh, God. So yeah, they're like,
the first day the teacher needs to talk to you.
Right. So they're like, you need to pull over to the side. I pull over to the side. Mr. Garland comes over and he shakes my hand. He's like, my name is Mr. Garland. Are you Henry's father? And I was like, yeah, my name's Jonathan. He's like, okay, well, Henry told me that he was walking today. And so he went with the walking group. And so we thought he was doing
that.
He
left.
So I'm going to go find him and I'll bring him back to you. And I was like, oh, okay. I'll just pull over in the parking lot. I was in the parking lot for 10 minutes getting increasingly worried because nobody had even come over to me to get like a status update. Like, oh, we found him. Mr. Garland will have him over here in a second. I'm sitting there for like 10 minutes and then I'm like, okay, I can't take this. I get out of the car, go up to the people.
So first they treat you like McDonald's when your fries aren't done. They're like, just pull up.
Yeah. And then they forgot about me.
And we'll bring your fries out. They're like, oh,
so
crap, we forgot about that guy's fries.
I'm freaking out a little bit, just a little bit. Like, I mean, here's the thing that it's important to know about me, and Rod knows this better than anybody except for maybe my wife. Up until a few years ago, I was a neurotic mess about everything. I couldn't 100%. Function. I freaked out about bills. I freaked out about my health. I freaked out about my kids' health. Everything. I was
farted
just
too much. I didn't fart enough.
Yeah, my fart smelled different. Not bad. Not necessarily worse. No, just different.
Just different.
And I don't get that.
Yeah.
I'm a neurotic mess, and you have to understand.
A lot.
There's this very thin veil that I've put up that consists of the drug Wellbutrin that has helped me manage my anxiety along with getting on a regular sleep schedule. But you also have to understand that it doesn't take much to pierce that veil. And my kid going missing just brings on like 3 years of suppressed anxiety, bubbles up to the surface and explodes out of my head. I go up to these people. I'm like, hey, has anybody seen my son? And Mr. Garland, the teacher, comes over after obviously circumnavigating the school, waves at me and goes, I can't find him. I can't find him.
Okay.
And I go,
so wait, your son has lived in this town for 2 weeks.
2 weeks. 2 weeks and one day. Yes. His
first day of school. He decides to hell with it. I'm going on walkabout.
Yeah, more or less.
I kept
saying he wouldn't just walk away. He wouldn't do that. Why would he just walk away? And so I'm in the school. They're trying to call some kid that they saw him with, and it went like this. It went like every scenario, like every bad 80s TV movie where the kid goes missing, you know, like so, like the face on the milk carton or whatever, that kind of shit.
Oh yeah, I'm with you.
Any movie like that. It always goes, there's things like this. It just starts off as a little thing, and then we can't find him, and then we can't find him, and now the people who told you not to worry are looking worried, and now they're calling the cops. I go into this building, and they're like, we think he's with this kid Arroyo or something like that. And I'm like, oh, okay. And they sit down.
This kid's a drug dealer.
He's actually an eight.
Just so you know.
He's actually three Bolivians in a trench coat. I go into the school. They call this Arroyo, and this is what I hear on the other from my end, because I can't hear the other end. Hello, is Arroyo there? Okay, well, yeah. Well, could you ask him? Does he have a kid named Henry with him, or has he seen Henry? And the mom goes, "Oh yeah, he's here." And then the teacher or administrator, or whatever, goes, "Oh, Henry's there." And then I don't hear the other end, but the administrator goes, no, that's great that your son is home. We're looking for a kid named Henry. Oh, he's not there. Okay, well, does Arroyo know where he is and where he might be? And then there's a pause.
Last time I saw him, he was getting in that van.
So they then, you know, on the other end, something happens, and then the administrator goes, okay, thank you, and hangs up. And she goes, Arroyo has no idea where he's at. And I'm like, I'm literally freaking out because like, my whole understanding of all of these school policies is built around trial and error. Like, they don't lose
kids. They don't lose kids.
Because if you lose a kid, that's a huge deal. Like, that's on the news. The school looks bad. They have to develop new strategies. I mean, it's...
Oh, they'll talk about you in other states and shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They'll be like, oh my God, this one kid went missing from this school in Lexington, Massachusetts, and this is how it happened, so we need to make sure that doesn't happen here. So I'm like, we don't know where he's at. We're running all around just screaming his name. I see this crossing guard near the area where I think Henry would have walked, and I was like, did you see a kid? And I'm honestly trying to describe my kid the best way I can, but I realize I'm describing a three-year-old because I don't like,
yeah,
when you close your,
because I don't ever look
eyes,
at him,
yeah, when you, yeah, when you close your eyes and you remember your kid, he looks like he did when he was at his cutest. And
before he was all annoying and I quit paying attention to him.
Yeah, the crossing guard goes, well, there was this one kid that walked by and he looked very upset, and he walked up the block and then he walked back and then he sat down on the bench and looked upset again for like 4 minutes, and then he walked the other way again. And I didn't have time.
And this
I didn't have time to grab this fat piece of crap by the lapels and scream in his face, why didn't you ask why he was upset? because I was like, but he went that way. He went that way. And he was like, yeah. In the meantime, I'm like running to my car. I call Katie and I'm like, you need to go look for him. I think he's trying to walk home, but God only knows if he knows his way home. And she's like, oh,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. And so she gets in the car and I get in my car and I'm driving and I don't see him. So I call her again. And it's literally this moment. It's this. I'm like, I don't know where he's at. If you see, by the way, I'd like burst into tears. I'd known these people for like 5 minutes and I was already crying in front of them because
I can't imagine that you were that together, that composed.
Yeah. Yeah. To even cry.
I mean, the one motto we have on the show is if you're happy and you know it, it's the meds. and those only hold up for so long. Yeah.
Yeah. No, the meds are like the steel plates on the Titanic, and this is the biggest freaking iceberg of my life. And so I call Katie, and Katie's like, oh God, okay, hold on, I think I see him. And I know how this scene in the movie plays out, because this is the part where she thinks she sees him, but the kid's walking away from her, so she can't make him out, because it's a kid walking away.
Not him.
And he's wearing the same shirt, or whatever, but indeed.
Right, but it's not him!
It was my son. No, it was him, trying to cross a very busy street in Lexington. And so she got him, and she got him home. And
oh my God,
I did that thing. It's so fun to do as a parent, where you want to equally hug and then squeeze the life out of your kid.
You know, I did it when I was a kid one time. I like the woods. Don't go playing in the woods, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And me and some kids went and played in the woods, and we were, you know, knee deep in the creek catching crawdads and stuff like you do. And looked up, was like, oh crap, it's pretty dark. We should head home. And walked out of the woods to like a search party. And at like a whole neighborhood and mothers crying and, you know, and like, you know, bloodhounds. You're like, what the hell? Who's missing? You are. So yeah, my mother, honest to God, I watched it happen, and it like terrified me so much, and I remember it clearly. My mother walked up to me in tears and goes, oh my God, are you all right? And I was like, yes. She goes, where have you been? I was playing at the creek. I'm going to beat your ass.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like that. And I couldn't be too mad at him because, one, I'm like, why the hell did they let you walk away from the school crying?
Yeah, see, now, at my school, when it comes to, I said my school, the school Roman goes to,
yeah,
they it's very specific and, like, predetermined who walks and who rides the bus and who gets picked up. And if you're getting picked up, now don't get me wrong, you pull up and they're like, how many do you want? Like, grab some and take them.
You want some blonde ones? We got some blonde ones just off the boat.
Right, but
these kindergartners.
But
like,
walking kids aren't in the bus lane and the bus kids aren't off walk. I mean, they know who goes where. Well, and it's a big deal because Roman some days walks and some days gets picked up. And that seems to piss the school off.
Right. Well, to be fair, we thought Henry was going to walk because I was going to walk to go pick him up. But I was running late and kind of tired. So I decided I will just go drive and pick him up, which apparently threw everything.
You screwed it up.
No.
And as far as he knew, you didn't show up walking to take him home.
Yeah, I guess so. But it's and to be fair to my poor son, who is more upset about this than anybody, he thought he thought I was just late. Yes. He thought I was late, and so he started walking home. Like, he started walking up to meet me halfway. Right. And then when he didn't see me, he was like, well, I gotten this far. I might as well just go home.
Right. I could see that.
I'm just amazed. He kind of knew his way home. Like, he actually.
Was he the one setting up set on the bench?
Yeah. He was the same kid that the crossing guard saw.
The crossing guard didn't bother to
say anything. Didn't bother to do his job and say, hey. I mean, I'm pretty sure that's the number one responsibility of anybody who works at a school. If you see a kid crying and upset, you should probably say, hey, why are you crying and upset?
In all fairness, his orientation only handled getting them from one sidewalk to another. He didn't talk about communications at all.
So if you're wondering how I'm doing in Boston, that's how it's going.
Same as ever.
Yeah.
Nothing's changed. A couple things real quick as far as you being in Boston that I want to mention before I forget. First of all, I realized you can't really do a list that has to do with music now, can you?
On my show? No, I can't.
Yeah.
No, the music lists are going to be exclusive to the podcast because, we can't. Because, we could play the music. It's funny because... as legally, we could play the music. We actually have the rights to play the music, which we never really did at KMBC.
Like, I know
that we got away with that stuff for a long time. Like, they're not supposed to even have bumper music at KMBC. We don't have the rights to that.
We just did what we wanted was the problem, and then went, look, we have great ratings. Yeah. They're like, stop it.
Yeah, knock it off. Anyways. Because it's a country station, if we did a music thing, the only thing we could do would be country songs.
Best Waylon Jennings song.
Yeah.
And the other thing I realized is, after working with you here for so long, am I now the Snickers guy?
No.
So, like, when you're in Boston, and you're like, my friend back in Kansas City is so stoned and buying off the grid crack babies. I'm the stories now, aren't I?
I
don't lie.
I hate to tell you this, Rod, because while I do love you and I do find you to be fascinating as a human being, the Snickersness of you doesn't exist. You're like a rational, healthy adult human being compared to the just hurricane of
now. I'm
drugs.
Aware of this.
I mean, Snickers is basically you if you had never stopped doing drugs. Like, that's what Snickers is.
That's terrifying.
Right, and he's like 30. You stopped.
Well,
doing
I figure me compared to everyone else, and then. That's Snickers compared to me.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of a good comparison.
Like a degree.
Yeah, I know. I honestly have only talked very, very well of you. I have to say this because I don't want people to think that there's some kind of competition or whatever. But the people at this station so much better than you guys. I don't want people to be like, oh my god, who does he like better? I mean, I don't want anybody to think that. I just want everybody to know. That Ayla and Jim and Brendan on my show so much better than you and Rebecca ever were. Holy cow.
Oh, that's good.
Holy cow. No, actually they are really great. I'm really happy that I don't hate the people I work with. Because my number one concern really wasn't, I'm doing country.
Oh yeah.
And I've never done country before. It wasn't I've never done mornings. Will I be able to wake up on time? My main concern was, am I gonna be working with people that I can't stand and are going to make me want to quit after a couple of months. I'm not. The people I work with are fantastic. They're really funny.
Cool. So you have someone, running the boards that still cares about their life.
Yeah, yeah, he does.
That's good.
I mean,
I
I've never point blank asked him that. I maybe should ask him that tomorrow. Maybe we'll open the show with that. Hey, Jim, it's 5:37 in the morning. I just want to know, do you care about your life?
Do you still care?
I might get a different answer at 5:37 than I would get at like 9 o'clock, though. So,
yeah, I don't give a damn about anything. 5:37. The only thing I care about is why the F am I up?
No,
although chances are if I'm awake at 5:37 a.m., it's because I haven't gone to bed yet.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever. Well, no, I did morning radio. You did morning radio a little bit. I mean, off and on, yeah. Right? Yeah. I mean, I never did it. I never did it for a long time. I think I did it for a couple weeks at a time. I only
ever did it. Yeah, for about a week or two at a time.
I've never gotten up at which I get up at 3:45 in the morning now. I've never gotten up at 3:45 in the morning for a job consistently for more than a couple weeks at a time.
Yeah. When I was filling in for Jay, I had to be at the station at 3. Well, I was supposed to be at the station at 3:45.
Wow. Yeah, screw that. Yeah. No.
I didn't. I usually got there about 4:10 because that's my style.
I will say this also about this station and this company. It's Jim, the producer, and I were talking about this. He was like, he used to work at iHeart, and I'm obviously coming from Intercom, and both of us have talked about this. He's like, I think I have iHeart PTSD because he's like,
was that place shitty for him?
Oh, iHeart's iHeart's worse than Intercom. As bad as Intercom was to us, iHeart's even worse. You'd be surprised. Worse. You'd be surprised. That's what I was saying too. I was like, I'm just kind of.
They like openly punch people there? Because that's about the only way it could be worse.
Let me put it this way. Intercom as a company, it still depends on where you work. Where we worked probably was just as bad as any iHeart cluster.
Right.
But Intercom as a company isn't bad all over yet. It's still, there's some bruising on the apple, but the whole thing hasn't gone shit brown. it's getting there. It'll get there.
Speaking of things turning shit brown, mm-hmm. earlier today while you were trying to find your child in the greater Boston metropolitan area, I was knocking down half the ductwork in my basement.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
By mistake.
So you texted me and you said, I just tore down half the ductwork in my basement. And honestly thought that was done on purpose. Like, oh, well, Rod's.
Yeah, like Rod's doing construction around the house.
Rod's getting some stuff done.
Nope.
No.
Nope. Nope. No, I was getting everything ready to record with you, and I was getting all set up down here in the basement, and I thought, you know what, I'm gonna tuck this blanket here because I don't like the sound I get over here on this open right side here. So I took a little blanket, tuck it over the ductwork, you know, so to hang down there.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, on the cartoon where the car's like balancing off the cliff. And then, like, the feather touches the front bumper and the whole thing falls.
Right.
That blanket was that feather. I knew that the ductwork needed to be resecured down here. It's that, you know, I mean, I don't have, like, this giant house. So it's just the one, like, main duct line that runs down the basement. And then it goes out from there to the different, you know, different vents. So I realized not long ago that there wasn't much holding it up, and I got this stuff to fix it, but it's me, so I hadn't done it yet.
Yeah.
But looks like I'm going to be doing that this evening.
So does the air not work in your house now, or just not in the basement?
Well, just it's working like hell in the basement, I tell you that right now. It's getting chilly down here. Parts of the house, maybe not so much. Maybe not so much. Luckily, it came off like one big chunk.
So how do you...
It looks like I could put it back together.
You know,
I'm hoping.
You know what sucks?
Homeowners?
Being a homeowner, yeah. I'm not there anymore, but when I lived back in Kansas, if something like that happened to me, I don't have the know-how or honestly just the I'm going to get this done that you have, like where it comes to fixing or repairing anything, but I also don't have the money to have the mentality that I have, which is, somebody else will take care of it. So those things have always terrified me. Like,
yeah, that's not a, yeah.
Yeah, I just...
See, I have that problem because I've always had the mentality of, you know what, let me pick up the check, mm-hmm. and have never in my life had the wallet to back that up. I'm praying someone else goes, no, your money's no good here, sir.
Yeah, I mean, literally, we're tired of you handing us rod bills.
It takes me all night to draw some of those. But no, my thing when it comes to fixing stuff is, first of all, I've learned that the worst thing you can do is tell me that's not how it's done, because then the only way I'm able to fix it is because I don't know that's not how to fix it.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like I don't know how to do anything. I just go, all right, this has got to connect back to that somehow. And it's got to be done before the wife gets home.
Yeah. Oh boy. So what are you going to tell Tabitha when she comes home and the ductwork is laying all over the place?
I'm not going to tell her a damn thing until she asks.
You know what you should do? You should just be lying underneath it. Like when she comes.
That's the Louis Anderson, who's actually pretty funny stand up. He was talking one time about borrowing his dad's Bonneville, and his dad loved this car. And he's, he's like driving along, and then suddenly he hit a tractor and didn't even know he was in a field. And he goes off about the record driver that comes to pick up the car out of the field is like, is that your dad's Bonneville, Louis? He's like, I know your dad, Louis. Why don't you lay under the hoist and let me crush your legs?
Or you know what, Louie, you can just stand up and do it yourself. He's not a spell man. Hey, Rick Ocasek is dead.
That is actually upsetting.
Yeah, I was very upset.
And that is, I realized when I heard the name today that his name sounds more like a talk or a game show host.
It's and here's Rick. Oh, you're right, because it has that O at the beginning. Yeah, that helps.
Totally. Yeah. Rick. Okay. So, a
couple things. There is a station I was listening to while I was frantically searching for my son that was talking about Rick Ocasek dying. The first thing is this: they kept calling him.
All their songs would be like, "I ain't missing you at all."
they kept calling him Rick Ocasek. Does that sound right to you at all? No. I've always heard Rick Ocasek, but then the guy said...
I've never, ever heard that.
The guy in this classic rock station, which, by the way, is playing Loser by Beck. This guy...
You're old, dude.
I know. This guy in this classic rock station said Rick Ocasek, Boston native, and all this stuff. And I was like, really? I didn't know he's from Boston? I should have made a bigger deal about it on my morning show. Today, he's not a Boston native. He lived in Boston for like a while in the 70s, but he was not a Boston native. I mean,
so what you're telling me is the classic rock DJ don't know shit.
Yeah. Also, it probably had the worst like ad lib of anything I've ever heard about a dead person, unless you were trying to mock them, but he was trying to speak with reverence. He was talking about Rick Ocasek and his wife. Let's see, what was the model? Paulina.
Paulina.
Yeah, Paulina.
Paulina. Yeah, that was it.
Yeah,
as far as I know.
And he's like the Paulina, who was the model in this video, and then they got married and were married for 29 years until she walked into the hotel room or the apartment, whatever, into his New York apartment and found his dead body yesterday. So that's a tragedy. Like, that was it. That was, and then he like went
to, God.
Then he went into drive by the cars. And I was like, what? That was like, I am in no position to judge how other people do radio. Lord knows I barely know what I'm doing. At the same time, if I was a program director, I would be like, we need to have a talk about how you deal with celebrity deaths.
Yeah, that is not. They had a lovely marriage for 29 years until she walked into their New York City apartment yesterday and found his dead body, fat and bloated and stiffening on the floor.
He was a great father until the day his children found his lifeless corpse dangling from a noose in the attic window. Like, what the hell?
With his pants around his ankles and that bottle of pills on the floor.
By the way, none of this is about Rick Ocasek, whatever. I don't know. But I love the Cars.
No, that was
Cars
Michael Hutchins.
Yeah. I love the Cars. Michael Hutchins.
I did
too. His remember his girlfriend or was his wife, Michael Hutchins' wife, like had to prove that no, he was doing autoerotic asphyxiation.
No, he was totally, yeah.
He wasn't
totally
trying to kill himself. This guy was a pervert. No. Like, he was disgusting.
No. No, I need that insurance money. This was not suicide. This was a sicko who liked to choke F himself, okay?
Yeah. So again, we're not talking about Rick Ocasek. We're talking about Michael Hutchins.
No.
R.A.P.
In excess guy.
In excess. He liked to choke himself in excess, apparently. Anyway.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
I loved the Cars. The Cars are one of my favorite bands from the 80s. So many great hits. And honestly, I have several Cars albums, not just greatest hits albums, but I have several Cars albums that I really like. He was a great producer, too. I mean, he produced a song. Was the band Romeo Void or was this? Yeah, it was. The band was Romeo Void.
Yeah.
I Might Like You Better If We Slept Together.
Yeah, it was one of those deals where he found them like playing somewhere like, oh, these guys are great.
Yeah. He also produced the Blue Album by Weezer, which is one of my favorite albums from the
90s. I did not know
that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I read an interview with Rivers Cuomo, and I kind of want to see what he has to say about this, because that was, I mean, he and Rick Ocasek were pretty close. But he said the coolest thing about recording that was, like, he got to use Rick Ocasek's guitars on stuff. Like, he got to use Cars stuff on the Blue Album, like, not for everything.
Awesome.
And Rivers had like his own idea about guitars, but like if he needed, like, they're laying down like a fifth melodic rhythm track or something like that, then Rick would be like, oh, I think you could use this one. I use this on My Best Friend's Girl. It would sound pretty good on this.
Far out.
Yeah. So R.I.P. I always
love the Cars. Go ahead.
I think on Friday we should do a list of best Cars songs. I don't know if we are. We could. I don't know. There's enough there, right? I could come up with 16 Cars songs.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay. All right.
We could. Yeah. We could do that.
I was thinking, well, you could even throw in maybe some stuff he produced, like from the Blue Album, or
maybe.
I can't remember what else. He also produced a No Doubt album, but not the good one. So.
Not the good one.
Wow.
Because they only had the one good one.
Tragic Kingdom.
No, I always loved
Tragic Kingdom.
I always loved the Cars. I like their very simple songwriting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they weren't writing crazy stuff. And the other thing I liked was the whole thing about they got their name. Is it was the one name nobody liked.
Yeah.
Like, they made a list of names of possible band names, and like, I don't know, like 10 of them or whatever. And everybody in the band walked around with this list, and they would ask people, which one do you like? And every time somebody said they'd like that one, they'd put a check mark by it. And when they all got together and reviewed their list, no one liked the name the Cars.
Right.
So they're like, that's what we'll name our band. That way we'll have a name that no one else will pick, because nobody likes that name.
Yeah. It's a brilliant way. Then nobody will have this name. I don't know why you would pick a name that people don't like, though. Like, who cares if you're looking for originality, just name your band like get alphabet soup and just throw the letters at a wall, and then that's a name. It's Gerstaplix.
Oh, dude, don't talk bad about Gerstaplix, dude. I love
that band. They have so many jams off of their album, Flurf and Flingle Floof. I didn't know this. He also produced The Gray Race by Bad Religion and High Low by Not a Surf. So, he produced some really great albums in the 90s.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so That's it. Hey, do you want to do some news stories?
Now, was he... Okay. Hang on real quick. Yeah. I do, but hang on.
Yep.
Was he sick? Like, had he been sick? Because he looks like he was sick back in 78.
All right. Well, this is... He was
very unattractive man.
This is the really interesting thing about it, is some people say he's 75 and some people say he's 70. Like, nobody knows how old he actually is. Like,
really?
I think... let me see if I can find this. I was just reading the story. Like, it's really weird. There's no official cause of death, but sources say it's natural causes. There's some confusion over his age. The NYPD said he was 75, but public records list his age as 70. Now, it's weird because 70 seems to make more sense to me. Like, I mean, the cars weren't really big until the very late 70s, if not until the 80s. And he would have been, like, if according to his biography, at 70, he would have been, he would have been like 36. If he was 75, he would have been 36 when the cars got huge. And that just seems like, I'm 37. Like, the idea of me being a rock star at this point is, well, granted.
Yeah, no, I thought, I always thought, like most rock stars, he was in his 20s when
that happened. Yeah, but.
Now, I know there are exceptions to that.
Yeah, I mean.
For example, what's the band Godsmack?
Yeah.
Like, when they first album came out, I think their singer was like 32 years old
and,
or something.
Art Alexakis from Everclear was like 37 when Sparkle and Fade came out.
Yeah.
He was pretty old. But that's rare. And I think Leonard Cohen, when he actually like first picked up a guitar, he was like in his 40s. But that guy always sounded old. Like, that's not that
weird. Yeah. That dude was born at like 47.
But I think he was 70 seems right, but I could believe 75 because look at him. I mean, he always looked like he was old.
No, so when he, Paulina, when he was dating Paulina, everybody was like,
really?
Is she okay? Like, does she have.
Oh, Paulina's like, blind.
Issues?
Yeah, poor Paulina.
Yeah, I didn't realize that.
Yeah. All right, let's do some news stories here. All right. I talked about this on my morning show today, but I kind of want to run it by you just to see what we could do with it, with me and you. Okay. So this guy in New Zealand. Their companies, by law in New Zealand, have to give you a heads up if they're going to fire you. They're legally required to tell you.
Oh, so you can't be surprise fired on Friday after your shift's over?
Or Tuesday after you just got back from vacation. No! You
come in Tuesday and talk to us.
They have to give you a heads up, and they have to let the employee bring along a, quote, support person, like a friend, their spouse, or their lawyer. Or there's this guy named Josh Thompson, who recently got an email from his bosses at an ad agency telling him they needed to have a meeting to discuss his future at the company. He knew it meant he was going to get canned. So he hired an emotional support clown to come with him. He paid the clown $125. I don't know if that's New Zealand dollars. I don't know if that's in Kiwis. I don't know. To come with him to the meeting in full makeup and make balloon animals while Josh was being let go. He says his bosses found the whole thing funny.
That is awesome.
He already has a new job with one of his competitors. And as for the clown, this is my favorite part of the story. As for the clown, he says, quote, it's the weirdest job I've had. Nah, not really. It's in the top 10, though.
That dude has made balloon animals in the corner of an orgy.
Hey, can you make one that I can have sex with, please? Dude, it's balloon
animals.
Can
you make one that looks like this? Can you make it look like this?
Yeah. Can you make it look like her? Just like, well, not all of her, just that part of her. Like, can you
that
make
part,
her?
Just this part.
Yeah, I think my response to that would be like, dude, you can have sex with any balloon animal. Like, there's really no. I don't think it's.
Well, if you're sensitive to static shock, maybe you shouldn't. I'm just saying.
You know, I've always said, though, while I resent the fact that they never tell us that we're going to be fired in radio, I understand. Because I cannot imagine what my last day, if I'd have known on Monday that I was going to be fired on Tuesday, I wouldn't have a job now. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, that's just
nobody would hire me after what I would have done.
That's the reason nobody is allowed to farewell.
Yeah.
Because most people farewell would be like, Look, I've been here for 12 years. I have learned so much. The people I work with every day are fantastic, and I love them dearly. And the cocksuckers that have the stupid-ass office below me can go suck a bag of dicks!
Right. Yeah.
And nobody wants to hear that.
Nobody wants to hear it. I mean, they would rather believe that you walked out of there going, well, I gave it my best, and it was a great company to work for. I sure am going to miss those people. Instead of walking out going, what am I going to do with my life? What am I going to tell? What am I going to tell my wife? What am I going to tell my husband? What am I going to tell my kids?
I mean, I have too
many people in my life, at least by one. I need to get rid of my husband, I guess.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. That's a given.
I don't like that guy. I'm jealous anyways. The point is, I worked at radio just long enough that I saw people told that, hey, you know, we gotta let you go. They were like, man, that sucks. I assumed this was coming or whatever. And I've seen people have to be escorted out of the building, like screaming and yelling, kind of escorted out of the building.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Everybody takes that shit differently, you know?
There was a famous story in St. Louis about a DJ. He's very successful morning show guy named Woody, who had two stints in St. Louis. The first one was in the late 90s to the early 2000s, and he was on afternoons. You
mean the Woody Show?
The Woody Show, yeah, Woody from the Woody Show. And he, yeah, okay. And I don't, and very, very talented, very, very good personality, does a very good job. But he apparently pissed off some woman who started this boycott campaign against him. And despite the fact that the dude had like a 15 share and was number one in like every demo
ratings, ratings don't matter.
Ratings didn't matter because their sponsors were getting boycotted, and they were like, you have to do something about this. So they literally had to drag him out of the building by his feet. He refused.
Oh my God.
He refused to leave. Like, they told him, you're leaving. Today's your last day. It's been great. You have a bright future ahead of you. And I'm sure you're going to land on your feet somewhere. But unfortunately, we have to let you go because of this boycott. And he went, I'm not leaving. And they went, no, you have to leave. And he's like, make me. And he just sat there, and they literally had to call security, which I don't remember them having. Like, maybe they had to call security over from like Union Station, which was the mall near where the building was. But they had to literally drag him out of there. And it's not like he was clawing and screaming. He just went limp. He just limped on him. And I just...
Wow. Yeah.
And the funny thing was...
That cracks me up because of all the things I've done in my life, of all the times I've like literally gotten up and walked out of a school or, you know, like fought somebody or ran for whatever, I would not have the balls to go limp.
Right. I could fight somebody. I would punch somebody in the throat before I'd go limp. Cause he just sandbagged him. Yeah. And he's a big guy. Like, I'm not saying he's like huge, but he's a pretty big guy. The funny thing is, like, 6 years later, he was back at that same station doing the morning show.
Oh God.
Yeah. Yeah. And now he's syndicated in Los Angeles. So the moral of the story, kids, is go limp.
Go limp.
I should have done that on my last day.
Don't fight it. Just go limp.
Just go limp.
I've always had that attitude. It's like when a girl breaks up with you, you have to act like you don't care. You have to be like, oh, well, I was looking for a date when I found you, so yeah, whatever. Yeah. But you go home and you cry alone with your chest cake.
Yeah, I don't know what that's like. So here's
the... You know, wait, you know the New Zealand thing, the guy hired the clown?
Yeah.
All I kept thinking is, if I was told, hey, you need to come in Tuesday because, well, basically, we're pretty sure we're going to let you go, and you're welcome to bring somebody with you, I would find the biggest, meanest, what's the line, hard pipe-hitting dude, you know?
Yeah.
Just that's the dude I would take.
You'd have brought in like the...
just have him...
Like the biker guy from Raising Arizona.
Off. Yeah.
Yeah, like the biker guy from Raising Arizona. Yeah, that guy. That guy didn't have any cartilage in his nose. Did you know that?
Yes.
Yeah, because it had been...
That dude was a football player.
Yeah, he was. And his nose had been broken so much that all the cartilage was gone.
Buddha.
Yeah, and he talked like it too, but he sounded like anyway. he's actually H. John Benjamin's father. Few people know that. All right, next he isn't, but he sounds like it.
Okay.
Next thing. He does. Next story. Here's a list of our simple pleasures that people are lying about, because we all know what a lot of people's simple pleasures are. They're not on this list. I'm just going to read the top five. Holding hands with someone you love.
No.
Nope.
Okay, like maybe, I guess, if you first started dating and you're like, oh, look, she's let me hold her hand. She does like me. But no, after that, it's just annoying because you're like, hey, I got to shift. Let go.
Yeah.
Let go.
Maybe, unless they mean holding hands with yourself, maybe if that's like a way of phrasing that. Shaking hands with your monster.
Oh, you mean like to masturbate?
Maybe that's what I'm saying. Actually, this is an interesting thing. Do you and Tabitha still hold hands?
Occasionally, more than hold hands, it would be like, you know, the put your hand on the leg, you know.
The
like in the car.
In the car, yeah. That's pretty much what Katie and I do. Yeah, I think sometimes we'll be walking and we'll hold hands. Of course, I'm always the one that initiates it, but I think we'll be walking.
You know what's
and hold
funny
hands.
Is I feel really bad about this, but it's happened a couple times where Roman and I will be out and he will like grab my hand to hold my hand, and my first reaction is to snatch it away.
Oh.
And I feel terrible every time I do, and it's not that I don't want to hold hands with you. It's just like, hey, let go of my damn hand. Like, I got a shift. Like, I need that hand.
Yeah,
what are you doing?
Get
your hand out of my pocket.
I got hand cancer. It's contagious. I don't want you to get it.
But yeah.
I don't know. 11 is a little bit too old to be holding hands with your dad, don't you think?
Yeah. Well, my kid's a what's the word I'm looking for? He's a fruit. No, I'm just kidding.
He's the fruit of your loom.
I'll tell you what, I'm actually proud of it. It's probably something I shouldn't be proud of, but I'm very proud of the fact that I am now introducing Roman to stand up. And like, he's watched quite a bit of George Carlin.
Oh, really?
Recently.
Wow.
And loves George Carlin.
Cool. I've done that with Henry. I haven't worked him up to George Carlin yet. I don't know that he's ready for the master class.
Oh no, we jumped straight in.
Okay.
We jumped straight. Yeah, well, he watched a Jim Gaffigan special with me, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, and he thought it was hilarious. I'm like, this is funny, but let me show you what real funny is.
Yeah.
Straight to 7 dirty words. I swear I did. We're in the car, like YouTube on the radio. They like, yeah. 7 dirty words. He was dying.
Wow.
He was cracking. He was crying. He was laughing so hard. And then I dropped him off at school.
Yeah. Hey, now go repeat that to your class. Yeah.
It was like, yeah, now go take that to school with you.
No, you said you listened to Dimitri Martin with him. Henry and I, we listened to Dimitri Martin.
I forgot how funny Dimitri Martin is.
He's great. Yeah, he's really good. We listened to him. We listened to Mitch Hedberg and Gaffigan, and listened to a little bit of Patton Oswalt, but Patton can get into some areas that it's not that I'm uncomfortable so much as I'm like, there's no way he understands what he's saying. So this is kind of lost.
Yeah, it's
him.
Just too. Yeah, yeah, it's too deep. Like I let him watch the ice cream bit from Delirious.
Yeah,
you know, it was like one of the first. Like after the 7 dirty words, the next day, I let him watch the ice cream. You know, you ain't got no ice cream. He thought that was great. So yeah, I'm like, Patton Oswalt's talking about like what?
Yeah.
Patton Oswalt's talking about like serious, you know, issues like in his life and his, you know, and stuff with his wife and his dead wife,
yeah,
and child. And yeah, Roman doesn't care about that.
Yeah.
He wants to hear 7 dirty words.
See, to me, the evolution of like maturity is, I think you could definitely do Carlin before Oswalt, but last you have to do Marc Maron. Because Marc Maron's stand-up is like just so completely self-absorbed. I mean, I'm not dismissing it because it's great, but it's so completely self-absorbed and impromptu, and I'm pretty sure he's not working from any kind of script whatsoever. And in fact, like you could compare the two and contrast them perfectly. George Carlin and Marc Maron are like the opposites. Like George Carlin
totally
was all about how the world is so screwed up, and he had this very tight well-scripted, well-molded act. And then Mark Maron, who's a genius too, his whole thing is kind of like, I'm just sitting here talking about my personal issues. What do you guys want to hear about? Yeah. You want to hear about the time a baseball hit me in the face and I realized that I'd never be good at sports and I should just give up on life? all right. Anyway, back to this. Buying new clothes was another simple pleasure. Okay. Do they have to be new?
These people have very simple pleasures.
Could they be used clothes?
At what point is someone touching your genitals or smoking weed or anything like that on this list?
Maybe that's 11 or 12 because it's not on here. 3 is eating ice cream.
I do enjoy some ice cream.
I mean, I'm not going to put it up there with my top simple pleasures. 2, cooking your favorite meal. No. Eating my favorite meal. I ain't cooking that. Why would I have to be the one to cook it? I don't care about cooking it. I want it made for me. And number 1, listening to your favorite music. 58% said it's one of their simple pleasures.
Dude, I'm a freak about music, and I don't know that I'd put that on my list.
Yeah, I don't think so. I would either. I mean, because it's just so basic to me. Like, yeah, of course it's on there. You know what else is on there? Well, yeah, scratching my music. Ass. Do I have to say that?
Well, if it itches real bad, otherwise it's just kind of a nervous itch, like a tick, you know?
Oh, I found a bump there, by the way.
On your ass?
Yeah, I was like scratching and there's like this bump there and now I'm all worried about it.
You totally should be, dude. That's weird.
Stop it. Don't do that. It's just, it's tender and warm, so I'm assuming it's just a new ass. That's it. I'm getting
you
my...
You just didn't wipe well, sir.
No, I'm just getting my wisdom ass cheek. you know, isn't that how ass cheeks work? You get the third one.
Life's half over.
Around between your 30 and your 30s. At some point, you get the third wisdom cheek, which it makes it even more comfortable to sit down.
You are absolutely correct, sir. God.
All right. Well, it was fun doing this again. I think that's good.
Well, it's good that we get together once in a while.
Yeah, every once in a while. We'll definitely do this again on Wednesday, and we need to put out some secret stuff for the Patreon people.
We do, and we also need to discuss the fact that, and maybe not now, but the fact that the reason I told you when you left that you got a week off, I was going to do some stuff. I was really bad at it. But hey, there was something. People didn't hate it all.
You did. You did fine.
So
I mean, I didn't listen to it, but I'm assuming it was good.
The reason we didn't get anything done this last week was because Jonathan's furniture just disappeared.
Okay, so you want to talk about this?
A whole truck with all your possessions goes bloop, poof.
Yeah, no. So this is what happened. We drove out here. What did we leave? August 30th, and we get out here September 1st. And I knew it would be a few days before our stuff came in, and I was fine with that. So we're here. It's Sunday on...
Yeah, you brought extra toothpaste. You're fine.
Monday, I call this business, and I'm like, hey, where's our stuff? And they didn't answer me because nobody was there. And then on Tuesday, I called them, and somebody actually did answer the phone.
Now, in fairness, Monday was a holiday.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, it's Labor Day, so big deal. So I called them on Tuesday, and I was like, hey, I'm here. I would like my stuff delivered as soon as possible. And they said, oh, it hasn't been delivered yet. It should be there sometime this week, though. And I was like, oh, okay, well, I'll just call back tomorrow then. No big deal. We're sleeping on air mattresses. Okay. We're eating off of paper plates. We're just eating out. You know, we're just getting comfortable. It's fine, whatever. And then so Wednesday I call, and I'm like, hey, just wanted an update on where my stuff is. And they went, oh, it's not going to be there this week. Like, it was a stupid question. Like, oh, it's not going to be there this week. Like, like I'd ask them... Like, it's like I'd ask them, hey, is the sky, is it purple? Is it like purple, like Kool-Aid purple? And they're like, no, it's blue. It's blue. I don't know why it would be purple. That's kind of a cool color, but no, this guy's never.
Your stuff's not going to be there this week.
This guy's never been purple.
And besides that, have you gotten on the online auction and bid on any of your stuff?
So yeah, I was genuinely concerned. Like my stuff went missing. And they were like, yeah, it's not going to be there this week. It'll be there next week, though. And I was like, when? And they were like, well, we're not sure, but it'll be there next week. And I was like, where is my stuff now? And they went, it's at our facility in Topeka.
Detroit? I don't know.
But here's the thing. I asked him where it was now, and they said it's in our facility in Topeka, but there was way too long of a pause before he told me where it was. Like, I was like, where's our stuff now? And he was like, it's in a facility
Your
in
stuff.
Topeka.
Yeah, it's it's in a secured location in Topeka.
Topeka, sure, yeah. That's a city.
It's like he glanced down and saw that your thing was Kansas and went, Topeka.
Wichita.
The
no,
first
that's,
city he could think
that
of.
That sounds stupid. Nobody's going to believe it's in Wichita. So they basically, eventually I got to the bottom of it. They took Labor Day week off. Like nobody was getting
the
their
whole
stuff.
Week.
Yeah. Nobody was getting their stuff. Labor Day week. And so it finally came in on
I should work for a company like that.
It came in on Monday last week. It came into
I say like I have a job.
It came into Worcester or Worcester, Massachusetts last Monday. So then I called them and I'm like, where's my stuff? And they were like, oh, we'll bring it to you as soon as possible. And I was like, when is that? And they went, not today, but probably tomorrow. I was like, okay, when tomorrow?
Probably.
And they said, again, there was another long pause, between 9 and 5. And I was like, there's no way. I was like, I guarantee one of two things is going to happen.
You know the pause? You know what the pause was? That's him putting his hand over the phone and goes, this fucking guy wants a time, dude.
This guy, pretty funny. So I'd be like, yeah, what time will it be there? And he says, 9. Are you still there, Rod?
Yeah, I'm
okay,
here.
Okay,
I'm here.
The phone got oddly quiet, like our signal got better. Anyway, yeah, he's 9 to 5. And I'm like, okay, tomorrow. And he's like, yeah, it'll be there between 9 and 5. I was like, okay.
Between 9 and 5.
9 to 5. And so all day on Tuesday of last week, I'm like, okay, our stuff's going to get here. I get home early from work. I even like told people like, hey, I got to go. I was supposed to have like a meeting with the sales department.
Yeah,
I got to go.
Between 9 and 5.
Because
dude,
my
nine
stuff
five.
Might be in and I really need to be there when it comes in so I can start unloading. And they're like, okay, fine. So I come home like at 10 o'clock. It's not here. I just sat around the house all day. 5 o'clock. It's not here. I called them a couple times. They're like, oh, yeah, it should be there by 5. I called them at 5:10 and I was like, where's my stuff? And they're like,
between 9 and 5, goddammit.
Oh, it really should have been there at 5. And I was like, okay, well, when is it going to be there? And they're like, we don't know. It should be there. It should have been there, though, already. 7.
So you should just rest assured in the confidence that it should have been there.
Yeah, yeah. 7:30.
Oh, God, you're kidding me.
It's dark. 7:30. The truck pulls up outside. I run outside to like go, hey, where the hell have you been? And the guy.
And is it 7:30 your bedtime now?
Yes, it is. Well, 30 minutes before my bedtime. Thank you very much. And so he pulls the truck in to my driveway, gets out, unhooks it. And I think, oh, this guy's going to come back and help me. So I climb up on the back of the thing, waiting for him to come back. And then I can hear the truck pulling away. He didn't do anything. He dropped it off like he'd committed a crime and drove away.
It's like a reverse repossession.
Yeah, yeah. And I opened it, and thank God it was our stuff. But the thing was, the driver was supposed to help me because there's a stupid wooden slat that goes over to like keep all the stuff from going all over the place in the trailer. It's called a bulkhead.
Yeah, because you only paid for a certain amount of the trailer.
Right, right. So I needed help getting this stupid bulkhead thing open, but the driver just left. So I now have this giant gash on the side of my hand from trying to get that stupid bulkhead open by myself, and I did, but yeah.
Wow.
The movers were nice. The movers, the
because yeah, I just thought it was so funny as I kept talking to you and I was like, hey, do you want to record? You're like, I can't, dude. I don't even have a microphone.
Yeah.
Like I don't even have you know like a pillow, and. And then the other day, I got a text with a picture of a microphone and a board. It was like, ha-ha!
Well, the thing
found
was,
it!
Too, we brought all the stuff in, and we put it all into this sunroom area that we have in the house, and which was nice, and the movers were really nice, and got the job done like 2.5 hours. It was great. But all of our stuff was like in this room. And of course, it was like the thing I needed the most, which was my preamp so we could start recording. That was like the last box we found. That was like the last one. And I was freaking out. This is like Saturday. We still hadn't found it. I'm like digging all over looking for this damn thing. And then Katie goes, is this it? And it's the box. I'm like, she had been bringing me so many things that wasn't it, by the way, that I was like, no, it isn't. No, it isn't. So she brought me this. It's like, no, it. That's it. Yay.
Yes, it is it. I just have this picture of Katie going, is this it? You're like, honey, that is a picture. Okay. Is this it? That's a toaster. You know that's a toaster.
All right. Cody Akins at AkinsPCRepair.com. Great sponsor of
the show.
I've
heard of that guy. I need to call him.
Yeah, you do. Why haven't you called him?
I honestly, there's no reason at all. It's just every time I think about it, it's like and usually 9 o'clock at night. And I'm like, I'm not calling somebody at 9 o'clock
at night. I'm sure he's up at 9 o'clock at night. He doesn't have my hours.
That's true.
Anyway, Cody Akins at AkinsPCRepair.com. It does amazing work on computers. If you need a computer, maybe you need a new computer, but you don't have new computer money, you get a refurbished computer. That's what we do all of the podcasting for the show off of, a refurbished HP EliteBook that he loaned to us just so we could do this podcast. He doesn't just have that. He can fix your computer if your computer's running slow. He can fix your cell phone if that's running slow, or if the screen's cracked, he can fix that. Tell him you're one of the 11 and he'll do an even better job for you. I'm not saying if you don't tell him that he'll do a crappy job. He always does a good job, but I'm just saying it's like he'll go from 100% to like 110%. That's all I'm saying. Cody Akins at AkinsPCRepair.com. Make our computer guy your computer guy at AkinsPCRepair.com.
Take this, bitch.